Good afternoon and welcome to the Eastman Financial Report. I am your guest, your host, Dan Eastman. Today is Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023. And of course, this is National Debt Crisis Week, so we'll be keeping you current on all of that information as we go through the show today. As you know, we're broadcasting on WVW-TV, and this is a sponsor-funded network. It's not a commercial network. We don't sell commercials, and I will not be interrupted by commercials during the program. But we do have sponsors, and I am very happy to have a sponsor, Swiss America Trading Corp, which is based in Arizona, and they are purveyors of precious metals. They buy and sell. They make a market in precious metals. So if you're looking to add that type of investment to your portfolio, Swiss America is the company to call. They offer not only gold bullion coins, of course, but regular blocks of gold and silver and bullion form and shape, different sizes, and of course numismatic coins as well, which are collector's coins that are very valuable to collectors, not only because of the gold or silver content, but because of their rarity and scarcity and desirability by collectors. So when you drop that into the free market of supply and demand, numismatic investing is certainly a viable option. Of course, when you invest in precious metals, you are effectively taking a position against inflation by hedging against inflation, and it creates an opportunity for you on a small scale to purchase tangible assets that will survive the ravages of inflation and protect your wealth and your earning power going forward. Of course, you'll have to give them a call at 800-519-6271, ask for their free information, and they'll mail it out to you, and you can read it, and then you can make up your mind as to whether that type of investment fits your investment needs. So give them a call, 1-800-519-6271, ask for the free investor guide, and they will be more than happy to educate you on the benefits of owning precious metals in your portfolio. Okay, let's jump to the topic of du jour, which of course every day, every jour is the same story. We are looking at the United States of America running out of money. The tax revenues that were collected on April 15th, well, it's actually April 18th, but those tax revenues were reported by the Internal Revenue Service to be lower than expected by $250 billion, which, well, you could fund a war in Ukraine with that kind of money. But anyway, we're short of cash. And of course, the way the Treasury normally operates is that to meet its obligations, it merely issues Treasury debt in the form of T-bills or bonds or notes. And investors are usually very eager to scarf those notes up because they're backed by the full faith and credit of the United States. And as we are in our 246th or 7th year of constitutional existence as a country, we haven't defaulted on our national obligations. Now, I did a little story yesterday talking about the left-wing media was pushing the story that we have defaulted three times in American history. And I went through the three. The first one was in 1814. And it was right after the War of 1812. And that was the war where the Star Spangled Banner was written, looking over the harbor in Baltimore. And it was kind of our first big war as a country. And of course, I think the Treasury got a little overextended. So some people didn't get their interest checks on time, and they complained, and of course it was all paid up and everybody went away happy. But I guess that was technically a default in the middle of the very first war we ever had as a country, fighting. The British wanted to take us back, and we beat them off again. So anyway, that was the first time. And of course, the second time we talked about in the 1930s, when President Roosevelt decided by executive order to prohibit the private ownership of gold and bring it all into the Treasury, and then they would issue paper based on $35 per ounce. So they had to scarf in all the American gold, put it in Fort Knox, and issue the paper. And it was effectively a paper receipt for the gold in Fort Knox. But a lot of people didn't, in fact, turn in their gold because they smelled a rat, so they kept their gold coins, and that's why we have numismatic coins to buy and sell through Swiss America and other companies today because not everybody melted their old coins down. But that was apparently when contracts were being written between parties, oftentimes they would settle in gold instead of American dollars. And when President Roosevelt did that, it became illegal to settle contracts in gold. They had to use American dollars. And so I wouldn't classify that as a default. I think they're wrong on that one. I'm calling them on it. The third one is in 1979, of course, when their computers were just starting to take over the world and drive our lives. And there was a glitch in a system that prohibited $122 million worth of debt. The interest payments didn't go out, so that was technically a default. And of course, when the glitch was solved back in 79, when computers weren't all that great, just like today, the back interest was paid and everybody was made whole. So we really have not had a default in the United States history. And we're hoping we don't see one in the next couple of weeks. But last night, the president and Speaker McCarthy met at the White House at 5:30 yesterday afternoon. And I wonder if they ordered out. I don't know. Maybe you want to do Chinese. Oh, don't say that. It's Asian. It's Asian. Don't say Chinese. Anyway, I'm sure they had a great time. And the problem is that the debt crisis is not yet solved. And what President Biden was talking about is that they made the meeting was productive, not progress, but productive. So we're all still wondering what in the world is going to happen with the national debt, if it's going to go into default or what. And I'm very concerned this time because we've had this situation 78 times since the debt ceiling was enacted back in the early part of the 1900s. And this is nothing new under the sun, but what is new under the sun is just the massive size of $32 trillion in federal debt that exists. They want to raise it $1.5 trillion more, so we'll be at $33.5 trillion. And, of course, we all know now that the Republicans have spending limits and the Democrats don't want spending limits, so they're going back and forth and back and forth. And it's basically a game of chicken at this point as to who folds. And normally, in a normal situation, logical, reasonable minds would come to the conclusion that triggering an international debt crisis and a financial collapse by playing political chicken is probably not in the best interest of anyone, and they wouldn't do it. But we don't necessarily know if we have that kind of capacity making these decisions today. So if, in fact, this is America's Thelma and Louise moment, and the Treasury is about to go off the rim of the Grand Canyon, this is going to be something to watch. So you may really want to be calling Swiss America at 800-519-6271 and, starting to build that relationship. Because if we go into a financial panic situation, that is not the time to be trying to buy tangible assets. You're kind of too late. And you're going to pay very big premiums because everybody is going to be scrambling for safety, security, soundness, And it creates a stampede mentality. It's very much like a bank run. You know, in a normal day, people go in to the bank lobby and take money out, and they put it in, they take it out, put it in. It's when the psychology kicks in and people panic that everybody races to the bank, and you get the Jimmy Stewart moment or the Mary Poppins bank scene moment or the Bart Simpson moment where, you know, everybody's panicked and fists fly and everybody's trying to get their money out before the other guy. So you will hopefully not have to worry. We'll wake up someday in July, and this will be a fond memory as we look at the next political crisis. But in the event that this does blow, you want to be ready, and you really should be thinking about having some liquidity on hand. If you can get yourself some small denomination bills, like, you know, fives, tens, ones, twenties. That'd be a good thing because maybe some, you know, rolls of quarters and dimes and nickels sounds crazy. But, when a system goes into extreme stress, and we've seen this in video, if you watch like the banking crisis in Greece and Cyprus and other countries, when the federal government dials back because they don't have enough foreign currency, They will shut the banks, and of course, people race to the automatic teller machines, the ATMs. Oh, I'll put my card and get the money out, and I'll skunk my neighbor. Well, you know, the line's three blocks long, and of course, what the government does is say, okay, we're not going to have a crisis. Everybody gets $100. You can go to the ATM, you get $100 a day, and that's what you got to live on. The rest of your money is in a bank somewhere or a mutual fund, and the phones aren't they're ringing, but nobody's answering. And suddenly you realize, I don't have any cash. My credit card doesn't seem to work, and my car's out of gas, and they only want to take cash because nothing's working. And go to the grocery store, if there's food in it, you know, then if you have, you know, coins or paper dollars in your pocket, you're going to have a better chance of purchasing things that you need rather than if you are depending on plastic money, and which may not be working. So, you know, you hope all of this doesn't happen. And it's crazy to even waste airtime talking about the idea of that the federal government, any federal government, can go broke. And especially, you know, a federal government like the United States of America that prides itself on being the world leader, this is not a way to set a good example. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that third world countries, you know, run into. And here we are, we can't even manage our own checkbook. So this would be a great time to give your particular elected official, your congressional representative or your senator a call, two of them, you got two senators, give them a call and say, you know, this is not what the people expect. You know, we send you to Washington, we expect you to run a government, and that means pay your bills, collect as much money as you're entitled to, and then spend that prudently, and then just run the government and stop with this kind of crazy, because it's very distracting. And, you know, you also have to ask the question, you know, when you see these types of distracting news stories and everybody's watching, you know, we're going to go off the cliff. What are we not seeing over here? If we're looking over here, what are we not seeing over here? And that's another question. Is it the Ukrainian thing? Is it all this junk coming out about all these reports coming out about, you know, people who couldn't quite figure out what the rules were and how to play the ice in the sandbox with the other kids, you know? We don't know. And that's why you've got to be looking out of both sides of your head at the same time to see what's really going on. The debt crisis is a serious financial thing. And of course, this is the Eastman Financial Report. And we try to stay away from politics. But it would be a lot easier to do so if our politicians were prudent stewards of the public fisc rather than, you know, playing chicken in the middle of the highway here with everybody wondering if, you know, what's going to happen. And you're starting to see this in investment grade debt instruments. Debt is a big, big deal. And when you think about it, your 401k or your IRA account or your mutual funds, your banks, everybody invests in debt securities because there's two basic types of investments. I mean, we'll cut right to the core. There's all sorts of derivatives, but there are equities and there are debt. If you think of a corporate balance sheet or a government balance sheet or the Fed's balance sheet, well, I guess the Fed doesn't have equity, but there's equity, which is stocks, and then there's debt. And there's a whole lot of debt in the world. There's just multiples of debt. And there aren't that many stocks. So when people say, well, the stock market went down or the stock market went up, my response is usually, yeah, so what? Stock markets go up, stock markets go down. It's a little place to invest money compared to this vast, vast debt ocean. And this is where pension funds live, and this is where 401ks and IRAs live. And when you go to cash, whatever that means, you know, it's not like you go and they hand you a bunch of dollar bills and you put them in a suitcase and walk out. When you go to cash, you sell stock and you go to cash, you're putting in a money fund. And what does the money fund invest in? Short-term treasuries, because they're backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. They will never default, and of course, they're very safe. So money market mutual funds or money funds become a cash equivalent. And, you know, the ultimate in cash is the dollar bill in your hand. And then you can put it in your checking account, which is a demand deposit. And the deal in the American banking system is if I put money into a checking account, it's immediately available. Once they're good funds, I can immediately withdraw it. So your automatic deposit of your paycheck goes in on Friday morning, and then whoop, out goes the money electronically to pay all your bills. And the money goes in and out instantly. You don't have to do a thing. It's all on autopilot. That's a demand deposit account. Okay, it's as good as cash. So you have the cash itself where you get your checking account. That's cash. it's called M1 if you want to get deep into the weeds on economic theory. And M2 adds, well, okay, with savings accounts. But if you read the fine print, you know, nobody reads the fine print on this stuff. But if you were to read the fine print, you'd come to the realization that most of the time in a savings account, the bank has 90 days to redeem your request for your money back. You put your money in your checking account, you can put it in at 8 a.m. and at 8:30 you walk in, I give you my money back and they'll give it to you. That's the deal. You put it into your savings account. If things got crazy, like they did in the 30s during the bank holidays, your bank could say, I'm sorry, sir, you'll have to come back in 90 days because that money went in and it's gone. Well, we got 90 days to find it and get it back to you. So there's this time lag. And so that's why savings accounts aren't considered cash. Well, for most of us, our checking account works just fine. Your paycheck comes in or your dividend, whatever your income is, comes in. You pay your bills and, you know, there's never enough in your checkbook, no matter if you're Bill Gates or me or you, there's never enough. But that's what going to cash means. So when you start thinking about this from a large corporation's perspective, like your General Motors or Ford Motor Company, or, you know, pick a name, I'm not endorsing anyone, pick a name. They have, you know, millions and hundreds of millions of dollars in cash that they need for operations. They have to pay their payroll, they have to pay their vendors. They may be making a capital expenditure. So they need a lot of cash. And that cash sits, of course, you know, in accounts that are uninsured. So there's risk involved in that. So a lot of times they're not putting the, you know, let's say you need $50 million in an account to make payroll. If you're a cash manager for a big company, you may not be doing that at a bank. You may be in a money fund or something. Or maybe you're in a fund at your bank because it's very, very homogenous at this point. The problem is if those funds are holding short-term government T-bills, T-notes, you know, a 2-month expiration date on a bill that they're parking money for a month or 2 months as these bonds expire, these debt instruments expire, and you create a very, very detailed, complex portfolio, which you do on a spreadsheet or a computer. If the federal government defaults on that, it becomes a real problem because suddenly nobody's going to buy that $1,000 bond if the government's not paying interest and the government may not be able to reimburse. They're not going to buy it. So what is the market value? The market value goes to zero. So suddenly you think you got all this money in some cash equivalent, only to find out the federal government just defaulted. Everybody steps back. You know, if they default on one issue of the federal debt, everybody is going to step back. Chinese, Russians, you know, Federal Reserve, everybody, because who's going to buy more? And what they're going to try to do is run to the exit and try to sell theirs to somebody else. Like Wall Street calls it the greater fool theory. You're going to run out, find a greater fool, and you sell your dog to them and run, and they're stuck with it. That's the panic that happened in 2008. It was all of these banks and all these mortgage-backed securities. They were all, stuffed full of liar loans, and all the mortgages, the debt was sliced and diced and distributed. Nobody knew what the market value was, so the market stopped instantly. The banks woke up. Their reserves were unpriceable. It was zero, which meant they were all insolvent, and it created an absolute chaos. Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, these companies were wiped out. Created a tremendous situation in the American economy, and the federal government at that time wasn't broken, was still paying its bills. So what do you do today? Well, you're starting to see big companies, and I was just looking at this, at these big investment firms, they're starting to look at AAA rated corporate debt as an alternative to federal government debt. Because what you don't want to do, if you're running a mutual fund today and you got all this money coming in because automatically pulled off of the paychecks, so you have this big pile of cash. You have to put the cash to work and put it to work quickly because it affects your annual rate of return. And that's how money managers are evaluated by potential investors. You know, you want to pick the money manager that has the highest rate of return. You don't want to pick the guy who, you know, lost money. So they're very cognizant of putting all this loose money to work as quickly as they can, because even a smidgen of interest will build their annual return on that fund. And everybody tends to move their money into the funds that have the highest annual return. So when you start seeing the more cautious and prudent money managers forgoing federal debt to buy AAA rated corporate debt. And there's not that many corporations that are AAA rated. But what happens is there's a stampede for that stuff and they bid the price up, which means the interest comes down. So what they're doing in effect is it making it a lot cheaper for AAA rated corporations to issue debt because there's a great demand for it and investors will take a lower interest rate on the AAA corporate debt than they will on the federal debt because the federal debt may not be paid because the guys in Washington are playing chicken in the middle of the road. So this is basically what we're seeing today. And when you start to see indicators like that, you start thinking, you know, there may be something to this. And if they run this country off the cliff, you know, they're going to fundamentally change America. Well, that'd be a great way to do it. That would be a great way to do it. So we'll see how these guys play. I did notice that the Treasury Department is now asking its other sister agencies. Keep in mind, the President of the United States has cabinet officers, and there are departments, and each department is head by an appointed secretary. Department of Defense and the Department of the Interior and the Department of the Treasury. Well, there's all these department ofs. And Secretary Yellen is calling them and saying, look, you better be really careful. Don't pay out any more money than you absolutely have to. And if you have to write a check for more than $500 million, you need my approval 5 days ahead of time. And what she's doing is what would any normal corporate CFO would be doing. When you start getting low on cash, you know we still have payroll. We still have to pay our vendors. There are the electric bill. We got to pay the bills. And, you know, the cash balance is starting to shrink because maybe revenues are getting soft or costs are going up and squeezing your margins. And of course, your treasury is your pot of gold, your pot of cash, okay? And as that pot shrinks, and of course, throughout life, our pot of gold shrinks and expands. But when you get to one of these points where it's in a contracting period, and you're basically running low on cash, you have to be very prudent. You start putting your bills in order. Okay, which vendor can I stretch out a little bit before they cut me off? And you can't not make payroll. If you don't make payroll, you're doomed. Any business, from General Motors right down to a local, you know, I don't know, convenience store on the end of the block here, you have to make your payroll. And in a lot of states, if you don't make your payroll, you're personally liable for making the payroll because there's one thing in America you have to do. You have to pay your workers, just like it says in the Bible. You got to pay your workers. And the government takes that seriously, as do the workers. And when Friday comes along, I want my pay. So that's why when companies have to cut the costs because revenues minus expenses is income or earnings, the fastest way to cut expenses, sadly, is to lay people off. Because the minute you lay them off, if you say, don't come in tomorrow to work, you're laid off, then, of course, they're going to go file for unemployment or be angry. Of course, you just really damage their lifestyle. But what will happen is that cost stops instantly. You can't tell the electric company you're fired or you're going to be working in the dark. You can't tell the internet company you're fired or you won't be watching me. So you have to basically do a triage situation. And sadly, in American history, it's always been labor and layoffs when companies need to slam the brakes on spending. That's the way to do it fastest because pay cycles tend to be either weekly or biweekly. Every other week, you know, biweekly. Some people get paid monthly, but you get weekly or biweekly instant relief if you can cut your staff. And of course, I just saw that. It was, I think Disney again, another 2,500 people. They're out the door because that's what they're doing. When revenues are getting soft and people aren't spending a lot of money, you have to cut your costs. And that's basically what is going on with the situation. And unfortunately, Janet Yellen is in that very same predicament. You know, as the treasurer of the United States, she's basically running the budget for all these departments of, and it's her job to make sure that all the bills get paid and there's enough funds in the pipeline. And of course, they can't borrow. So we'll see what happens with that. It's kind of an interesting problem to see. It doesn't seem to be affecting Americans as much because I think a lot of people don't quite understand the depth of the situation. And that's probably a bad thing because when something, you know, really bad happens, like 2008, all the banks closed, and people suddenly, you know, they hear stuff on the news and they have this sense that, oh, there must be something wrong. And then they start thinking about what's going on. Well, if you've been listening to me for the last, you know, 3 or 4 months, you'll know what's going on. I'm telling you, you know, as best I can, what is going on in the economy, and that's why you want to be taking care of yourself and being prepared. And first, you're going to need liquidity, because that's one thing the federal government doesn't have is right now is they're not liquid. Now, you know, it's an interesting problem that is going to have to be addressed. And I was just thinking about some of the alternatives that I've been reading in the media, which are pretty wild. Like, we could sell the Virgin Islands. Okay, great. We'll sell the Virgin Islands and we'll use the money to fight in the Ukraine. And, you know, next year we're going to have to raise the debt ceiling. So I don't know. I mean, I guess if you can buy the world supply of niobium for $1.7 billion, sell that to China. That's 90% of the world supply of niobium for $1.7 billion, which is basically the same as the $1.5 billion in excess spending over their tax funds. Maybe you could sell the Virgin Islands and fund next year's spending. And then after that, I suppose you could sell Florida. Just keep working right up the coast here until there's nothing left but the state of Wisconsin. It'll be interesting to see. So perhaps maybe they can just come to some sense of agreement. I'm not panicked, because I've seen the movie too many times. I think what happens is they come to an agreement, they jack up the debt ceiling, and they all promise they're going to cut spending. And then next year we'll be talking about this, and it'll be 1.7, same price as niobium. So anyway, let's move on. I think that when I was talking about money managers, and one of the interesting things about that business is, of course, you do have a lot of cash coming into your system. And that's the nature of the business. As a money manager, you hold yourself out to the public to take people's money in and find a nice, good, safe place to park it. And then it grows, and then you get a fee, and then the customer's happy because their money grows. And it sounds wonderful, and it sounds like, you know, a simple thing to do, but it is not a simple thing to do. And the biggest reason is there is a lot of private capital that is now tied up in not only pension funds, which are organized and operated by states or pension boards, but also the private markets for retirement capital, which are 401ks and IRAs and all the deferred compensation, all the money you set aside and you don't pay taxes on this year, and it grows and grows and grows. And then when you start pulling out, you pay taxes down the road. Well, when you think about the scope of that $2 trillion or so dollars, which is, sounds like a lot of money, but the reality is, you know, what is a lot of money, frankly? And so the question is, how do you manage that, and where do you park it, and how do you deal with liquidity issues as people are constantly putting money in and pulling money out? And it's, again, that money decision that these money managers are really on edge this week, because the last thing on earth they need is a destabilizing situation where, you know, billions of dollars that they have parked somewhere where they thought was safe and secure. Okay, we're going to park it here, earn a little interest, find another place to park it. If that were to freeze up, or that market freezes up, that becomes a really difficult problem, because it's going to affect individuals' IRAs and 401ks, deferred comp, and it will certainly affect pension funds, because, you know, if your pension fund is managed by a professional management firm, which all of them are, now, there have been assumptions made throughout history that the safest place to park excess cash while you're waiting and looking for the best opportunities is in short-term treasuries. And boy, if that market freezes up, that's not going to be a real good thing. Also not going to be a really good thing if the federal government does, in fact, have to cut its expenditures while they work through this situation. And, you know, the first thing they're going to do is, well, we're going to not send out the Social Security checks. And of course, that just sets all the elderly people on fire, because that's what they need to live on. And of course, whenever these political games happen, you pick the most vulnerable people. You know, you say, okay, we're not going to pay the air traffic controllers. Well, of course, the air traffic controllers aren't happy about that. I mean, they've got bills and mortgages or rent and car payments or whatever they've got. They're not happy to lose their income. But of course, it affects all of us, everybody who travels throughout the United States. You can't fly airplanes if there's no air traffic controllers. So it's a way to basically create political pressure on elected officials by hurting the very citizens who are paying the taxes to support these people to begin with. So we're really hoping that they can not do this, because it would be very detrimental to a lot of good American people who, frankly, I think the only real sin of the American people is that they got too caught up in their own good life, and life was good, and they didn't pay attention to politics. And now it's becoming a real problem. And the only way that most people understand politics is through media. And media, as we know, I mean, depending which media you watch, we tend to be a Christian broadcasting station. And I very much try to keep my programming non-political. I'm trying to talk about the economy. But the reality is, when you know something's wrong, and you know your grandmother didn't get her Social Security check, and for some reason your ATM only lets you take out $100, and you're at the grocery store and you got 150 bucks in your basket and you're capped out at 100, what do? You start taking stuff out of the basket, and then you start to wonder, well, who did this to me, and what, you know, why? So anyway, we'll be talking about this again more tomorrow. So stay tuned, and it's my pleasure always to speak with you, and have a great day. Bye.